When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, hi.
Oh,
I just heard.
You're a baby.
Bone sticking out.
I made a booby. Oh.
Listen, by the way, I was, I was looking up our book on Amazon.
Yeah.
And the suggested items were poopy books.
What?
The first one was a poopy book. Something about poopy. And then the next one was something, I don't remember. It was not, let's just say the algorithm or whatever you call it is rotted. That somehow we are associated directly with pooping and peeing.
Is it like a funny Barnes & Noble? Are we like a funny impulse aisle, like gift book?
Impulse,
it's a children's book, like everyone poops?
No, this was not that. It was like,
is this forensics, like scientists, like dissecting an owl pellet?
It was like poopy pants, poopy, I don't know.
I was hoping we'd be, you know, kind of like Sarah Silverman, the bedwetter, or like, right. You know, David Sedaris.
Right.
You know?
No, it was like, shit ladies poop time or something.
Work.
Welcome back to the Bald and the Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to Silky Nutmeg Ganache and she had a book and she's like, I'm working on two books now and my dream is to be the first drag queen who's a New York Times bestseller. I said, good luck with
mama,
that dream.
We've got news for you.
I said,
sweetie.
You could be the third, yeah. Hoe.
Yeah. Who's the second?
You.
Oh, whoa.
There's two.
You're
of us.
Number four. No,
I'm two.
We are the first.
We
are number one.
She could be
the second one. The second one to chart. Yeah, she could be two.
And I hope she does. Dr. Reverend.
You know, even when I remember watching her Meet the Queens during that season, no offense to the other girls, but she was the only one that gripped me.
That bitch is lit.
And Silky Nutmeg Ganache is a fantastic drag name.
It's great. Yeah. Ganache.
And the Dr. Reverend Adjunct Professor Emeritus Silky Nutmeg Ganache. I love when Rue does that.
I also love when Silky is in drag wearing her real glasses. So she's like in good drag, and then she's in like her boy glasses, like her little tortoiseshell, like college learning glasses.
That's fun.
We're here in the Bald and the Beautiful.
I mean, I wore my glasses today.
Can you see now?
Yes. These are lightly prescripted, and they have a, very lightly prescripted, and they have a tint.
For you or for someone else?
For somebody, yeah, not for me. I have perfect vision, but just a light, what would you call this?
Who would play her?
A framboise.
Those are Ray-Bans.
No, but it's like a... Lilac?
It's a wave. Oh, the color.
The color.
Mm.
That deep rich color.
Oh, it is kind of a blue.
It's like
a blue gray. Wait, are you talking about the lenses?
The tint of the lens.
Oh, yeah, like a blackberry.
A blackberry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blackberry water. This is a fun conversation so far.
I'm in a haze because I started rehearsals with Laganja for a secret project.
Secret project. Details will be announced sometime.
And I hired the world-renowned celebrity choreographer Laganja Estrandra, yeah. And she said, well, what do you want, gal? Do you want the good 1-2 step, gal? Or do you want me to put you through it, gal?
I was like,
I can handle like something. I was like, I never really felt challenged by like the Drag Race 1-2 steps. Like I could do a little more than that.
Yeah. And you're also a very physical person who has dance, actual dance training from
And with
college.
The marathon, I was like, I'm probably in better shape than ever. I can do this.
Endurance. No, mama. No.
Miss Laganja came in here.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm about to find out that I did a hit and run with Laganja's daughter and got off scot-free.
This is a long-form revenge scheme.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I did something to her.
You're Nikki and... she's Nikki and you're Beatrix Kiddo. And
yes.
She's great.
Because yeah. This is what I wanted. What I wanted was... I realized this is probably out of frame. I wanted like...
But what you got
is
hit, hit, rolled, jeté. Yeah, oh yeah.
And like running, traveling the floor. We got a big studio space because I told her I want us to be able to move a little bit.
Yeah.
We're running.
Yeah.
We're running in drag.
Yeah, she's got you, you're like, yeah.
It's single ladies, bitch. It's fucking single ladies.
I was just going to say, she's got you Gwen Verdon on speed.
Oh my
God. A similar thing happened to me. And I, because I had, I was doing a, my Ding Dong video is a parody of a video whose choreography is, I mean, it's this.
Water aerobics. Oh.
And then? That's literally it. It's TikTok dancing.
Uh-huh.
But like low, like comically low energy. Comically low energy. Like she had me do fucking Odette's and Odile's solos from Swan Lake. Like it was, I was like, we really got to simplify it. She's like, we're going up, down levels. We're doing kicks. Like, I'm like, what?
It's a lot.
Yeah. She's great.
Halfway through rehearsal, I call managers, our managers, mm-hmm. and I go, with absolute gravity, I say, the air conditioning in the studio that day has to be cold. I'm not saying, I don't want you to call the studio and make sure they have a thermostat. No. Yeah. I need you to get a generator the size of a Prius, park it outside, and I want a tube the size of a New York sewer running into the space, blasting to the point where you and everyone you know is in winter coats.
Yeah.
I want it to be so cold in there that your family is at home like, ooh, I'm cold today.
I need you to kidnap a sizable Inuit population and have them set up an igloo for about 3 weeks before, it's wild.
It was this kind of boat. Yeah. I said, I want your lips blue. I said, I want my dancers blowing clouds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not that. Not those clouds.
I want my dancers. And I said, I want a Titanic, I'll never let go, Jack, frozen on a door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, I'm going to take that COVID gun and I'm going to walk in there and blow the, I'm going to beep, beep the air. And if it isn't 60, we're not doing it.
Yeah. No, if the machine doesn't freeze up and just crack.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want, what was that movie? Like The Day After Tomorrow with the climate shift where everything's freezing in the air. I want that. Yeah, I want to be like walk, walk, walk. Ooh.
Or like Sub-Zero when he arrives, like the.
Yes.
Yes. That's
yes.
The,
I want,
that's the vibe.
Shot with a ray gun. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger, would this come early this season? Like that is what I need, bitch. And then I said also get as many cameras as we can afford because I can't do this more than 10 times.
I think it's funny you say 10 because full out the whole routine, I'm going to say five. I mean, you sweat, I mean, way less than I do, but think of it. You're like we talked about.
I've thought of
your
it.
Geometry cannot be sullied by sweat. Like, I can just kind of run and then pat, but, you know, a shape can't become, a triangle can become a circle.
The lines on your that face. Separate realities cannot become compromised with my
Have you ever considered getting tattooed that day? Like a fake attempt, or maybe a permanent tattoo of makeup?
I will say that, I think we've talked about this, the TV show Botched has asked me 3 times to come on the show. To get more work done to look more like I do in drag.
So
and they said they would pay for it.
So they would pay for a ceramic kabuki mask to be fused onto your skin.
I think they thought I had a bunch of work done because of my makeup. And so then they wanted to know if I wanted to get anything fixed.
Yeah. Is it just the nose?
I don't know what it is. But I have nothing.
I literally don't. Besides the nose that I honestly never notice. What the fuck is how?
What could be wrong with this
face? What could
you
wrong with it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
And then also, you're gonna love this. Mm. I told Laganja, the dancers for the video, I need giants because I'm sick of looking like goddamn.
Yeah. Frederica Bimmel.
Frederica Bimmel. Yeah. I'm sick of looking like I always look like in videos that 100-foot woman or whatever, the 50-foot woman.
Uh huh.
And then the dancers are like little five foot six just Broadway actors.
And gay, so they're like, and they're live.
More,
and they're
gayer
like,
than me.
Yes, gayer than you.
And so I look like a graceless, you know what.
A BD.
Yeah, a graceless BD. And so then. So the dancer, she got her like 6'5" and 6'6".
Hulking, towering.
Gorgeous, stunning. And by the way, bored at the level of this choreography. They're like, oh, this, okay, yeah, mama, got it. What's next?
See, that's
and
why
I'm like, I'm like, can we go back?
Mary. When I worked with Laganja, so I worked with her 2 days, and Andrew was in the studio. He was constantly trying to interject, be like, we really need to go. I mean, think low energy, no energy, comical. And I don't think she just knows what that is. And
She doesn't do low energy.
Her version of low energy is just not jumping from a platform into a split, you know? We get on set when all the drag comes on. Oh, World of Wonder, no AC. I was like, yeah, no.
You shot this at WOW.
You shot
Ding Dong at WOW.
Yeah, and a green screen.
Oh my God.
And so I defaulted to the actual boom boom choreography. And then I think the only thing that I did from our session was this.
Work.
Yeah, and it's no fault of her own. She did a great job, and she got paid. But it was a bummer.
I've just never done anything where the song is this fast, but, and there's a move on every hit.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
that's usually choreography.
I know. And I keep going like, so does this lead into like a breathe section?
A
breathing section. Yeah, is there a section where we like do an easy move for a second? The easiest move so far is this.
And it still has to be percussive and in sync. Yeah.
But then it goes into like Twyla. Yeah. Anyway, so I've been victimized.
Yeah. It's humbling because the humiliation of being a seasoned, successful, well-beloved, world-renowned performer, and then you get in the room with dancers and they make you feel like you're like an orphan from Middle Earth.
I think that's probably how people feel when I'm in an orgy and they see me suck cock and they're like, oh, I guess I've never really sucked cock because that Hoover over there. Yes. Going to that Dementor giving Satan's kiss over there.
You're not even touching the dick. You're just.
I suck so hard the back of my head caves in. The back of my head caves
bone
in.
Sucking in. Bone sucking in.
Anyway, we're not going to fault Laganja for being a good choreographer who pushes people to do well.
And an excellent mover. Oh, by the way, Mary, by the way. So we're in the studio for 3-4 hours. We got AC. We're doing all the choreo. I'm sober, completely sober, and actually in great shape. And at the end of the day, I am drenched. I've had to change my shirt once. Let me tell you about that woman's body. Not one bead of sweat.
Not one.
Not one. Not one bead of sweat.
I know.
It's crazy. She's so crazy.
She was in a like t-shirt dress with very little makeup on, looking great. Oh, by the way, did I mention we're also dancing in masks? Because if it's a public studio space, so we're in masks. So I'm trying to.
that in itself is tough because then it's just hot air in your face.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah,
and I have it. Today,
yeah.
Tomorrow, and then I added a Tuesday rehearsal at 8 a.m. for brush ups because the gig is
you love
Wednesday.
That torture. No, it's good.
I don't. I said going to be worse if we go in and have to do repetition because we don't have it. And by
oh
we,
no no
I mean
no you
me.
Can't film yeah you can't film it if you don't know it.
And they're not going to miss steps, and I've already realized that they're not going to miss steps. Yeah. I will.
But you know you do the Britney cut, like Work Bitch, for example. She never completes even a half a phrase in any of these music videos, if you notice.
Yeah.
It's all just cut, 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 you know.
Well, Laganja goes yesterday on Beyonce's birthday. Laganja goes, well, even the single latest video, there's a lens flare or whatever, and you realize it's two cuts.
Yeah. I mean, she's not fucking an Avenger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, what have you been up to? You did a gig Friday.
I did a gig Friday, and actually, I had rehearsed. I had planned on doing... So Nick Lemmer, your friend, who is a dancer we talked about before, we choreographed this thing, and I planned on doing the same parts with choreography at Evita. No.
Tatiana, same parts?
Yeah. We're choreographing it for a Reverie, and it's going to be fierce with two guys, you know, people at the party, you know.
You just want to dance.
Yeah. First man up. Oh. You know, it's a real tableau we're creating.
But what you see
isn't always my tooth. Yeah. But so I'm so glad I didn't do that because, honey,
I don't want to complain. Is Nick Lummer letting you have it?
No, I'm not trying to complain about these amazing opportunities. I'm trying to connect to gratitude. About the fact that I live literally the perfect life.
You went to the desert, you ate a drug cactus, yeah. And you're here to connect to your gratitude.
Yeah. Mama, my gratitude overfloweth, the cup of abundance runneth over, I'm soaked and bathed in the blood of the Lord.
Is Nick Lummer choreographing it?
Yes.
Is he letting you have it, as it were?
We're working together, it's very much a collab, and he's great, and he has a back injury, so he's closer to my level. Oh. You know what I mean?
But still not.
No. Yeah, no. But it's just, he's, you know.
These poor dancers, are they just in pain forever?
Well, yeah, it's acrobats too. They say, the saying goes, if an acrobat doesn't wake up in pain, it's because he didn't wake up at all.
We're going to take a break. Oh my God, that is chilling.
It's true though. It's true.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Bone sticking back. Out. Bone sticking out.
Did you have fun at the gig on Friday?
I got...
Do you not want to talk about it?
No, I do. I want to talk about the range of emotions that were felt because it was a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Okay. And so me, my Eden, who formerly of Trixie Cosmetics and now my assistant, Andrew, my studio mate, we had the funnest day in the studio creating the stupid magic trick number where I made a whole garment. We used the silicone vagina and then the silicone breasts. And we, so the thing was to pull about, I don't know, 10 yards of red fabric out of my pussy, like Carolee Schneeman's interior scroll piece of performance art from the 70s.
Sure.
We rehearsed it 4 times to get the timing right. It was fun. And then had a great time doing that. However, Mary, we've worked a lot of gigs. We've worked many gigs before and after Drag Race, the conditions of which run the full range of human experience from homeless decrepitude to the penthouse of all penthouses.
Heaven to hell.
So we go there early. On time, get swindled, bamboozled, and ripped off by the parking attendant. And then Orville Peck brings us to the dressing room, which is a broom closet filled with 3 depressed dancers. And I wasn't expecting Shangri-La. I was a little bit.
It's a nightclub.
But there, I was told Violet had demanded a dressing room. So I'm thinking, well, if it's good enough for Violet, it's definitely going to be good enough for me.
Oh, if it's good enough for Violet.
Yeah.
You and I can make it
I was
through.
Like, there's no way this cupboard was created for Violet. So I just go right back into the parking lot, strip off all my clothes except my rubber pussy. By the way, I showed up in a bathrobe and slip-ons. You came in full pageant evening gown.
Because I don't, I will never put the getting ready environment in the hands of someone else. At least at home, I know the lighting,
that
the air conditioning.
That was my mistake. But so we had run through the number so many, like twice at home. And so I was already like over it. So I took off the rubber pieces and I was like, oh, but just put it on there. Mistake. Huge mistake. And so, and then the promoter eventually comes out. I'm unraveling. Eden's like, I'm like, Eden, should we both kill ourselves? Should you just kill me? We're planning suicide. And so the promoter finally comes out. He's like, what are you doing out here? What are you doing out here? Gaslit. Like, what? I was like, honey, you're the star. You're the star of the night. What are you doing in the parking lot? I was like, there's a whole private dressing room with AC and a large couch. I'm like, great, great.
I was in the Buffalo Wild Wings kitchen.
He's like, should I take you there? I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, and so we went from homeless to the penthouse, and my head is spinning because I was like fully.
Because by the way, that party is insane. For there to even be that dressing room private with a mirror and a light and a couch.
Yeah.
That is presidential.
Yes. Yes.
We got the A-list shit.
Yeah.
We did.
Yes. It was very grateful. But my head was spinning from the, I mean, I literally was just like, I just won the lottery and I'm trying to, nouveau riche acclamation. And then, so, but then we go out to the, you do your number and I go out, never been there before, go out to the stage area.
You never seen the stage?
I've never seen.
Oh, so you didn't know.
I didn't know.
The selling point of this party is that it is, if you're a drunk person and you want to go shoulder to shoulder, listen to music. It's,
Do you like big sweaty bodies? yeah. It's, I think I don't have agoraphobia or claustrophobia. Now I do. No, I think I do.
Angoraphobia. You're afraid of angora.
Angoraphobia. And Klaus. It's Klausnomiophobia. Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, obviously, and having been in lockdown for a year and a half and pretty much isolated, it was an adjustment.
So you forgot. I mean, it's basically, you know what it is? It's basically like when you and I do Halloween at the Royale or whatever in Boston.
No, this is like Brazil, except there's not the 8 ring of security guards escorting you.
Yes, it was crazy.
Also,
it was,
they don't care. They're not trying to touch you. They're like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, as you're making your way through the crowd.
That's the thing about LA. It's like you're in high whore drag and everyone's either like, couldn't believe.
Yeah.
Or they were like, it's some fags makeup artist. Like, ugh. Yeah, like everyone's like annoyed that you're trying to get through.
Mary. Yeah. It was like, and I'm wearing this giant tulle thing and I'm just looking at the ground because there's lots of stuff to trip over. Anyways.
Maybe if I walk fast enough, people will think I'm Ellen Barkin. Ellen Barkin up the wrong tree.
Ellen, maybe Ellen. Glenn Close.
Or just Ellen.
Yeah. So like going there, getting there, and I'm about to go on, and I'm like, I was like, and then the heat hits me. I'm like, ooh.
It was warm in there.
It was a microwave. So I had brought my own two fans. I had purchased my own two fans and had them delivered to the venue and to be set up at each corner of this small stage, I figured.
Wait, you had fans set up on stage?
I sure fucking did, bitch. Yeah. Because never, I don't know why. Because I was like, why in the drag queen industrial complex, this is an entertainment industry that has been forged years ago. And is the thing, why aren't they part and parcel of the stage show experience for drag queens?
Fans?
I saw Sonique getting her life with the fan recently. She had two of the same ones and then a large Beyonce fan. And she was just letting it, you know, she even took the fan in her hands and was just like, ugh.
If we tried that, the unit would get caught in the fan, snatch balled.
No, but yes, but like it, you know.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
That's how I also feel about air conditioning. So,
well right, because it's a twofer.
Because when you go to Texas, let's say, I find that the gay clubs there are always much better air conditioned. Because it's so hot
like
that it has to be.
Yeah, it's like Florida. They don't fuck around.
Versus like Nightingale. I've been to many in Evita. Nightingale, it's fucking hot.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Because the
if you're
at night
to look,
it
I hope
down.
It's underwear.
Oh my God, yeah. I think of the girls in the wigs and possibly every time I see Gigi Gorgeous out at these places, no matter what the temperature.
Oh.
Mama, she is just like actually flawless. I don't know how. It's
when
really
I talk
confusing.
To her, I'm like, I'll talk to you, but you can't look at me.
It's really confusing. It's really confusing. When I saw her at Violet's show up in the sauna of a VIP lounge, I gave her a hug and she's like, oh, you're sweaty. And I was like, yes, I am. And you're literally a fucking cover model. Yeah, it's like cover model.
And you're a mannequin at the Deb.
Yeah.
It's cold to the touch.
Anyways, so the show itself was really fun. And I was grateful for the three deep row of girls and lesbos and diehard fans who they really got my back.
Yes, there was a sea of yes.
Yeah. Because getting through it was like disinterested faggot, inconvenienced faggot, you know.
The 21-year-old blue haired pansexual Wiccans got there at 9 p.m.
Mama. Yes. They were like, I'm gonna park my ass at the front of that stage and, you know, come. Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I really do.
I opened for you. It was fun. I mean, I picked the Shirley Bassey number, which is walk around with a boa. Walking around.
Well, it's 5x5. What are you gonna do?
I wanted to walk to the back of the room, and I went to the front of the stage like I was gonna get down, and nobody decided to move, and I said, okay, we will not be navigating the room.
Mary, I had them measure the I saw the videos because we were gonna do choreography, three of us there. No, that was not gonna happen. So I had them measure and give me dimensions from that ledge and then the stage. Girl, there are people on the ledge.
Yeah, it chilling really on the is ledge. Like, it's like these two tables put together.
I had a whole like catwalk ledge thing planned. Just guys sitting on the ledge.
I know.
Sitting on the ledge during the number. I was like, is this like, what is this?
It's sitting on the ledge.
Sitting on the ledge.
Sitting on the ledge. Sitting on the ledge. Ledge sticking out.
Ledge sticking out.
Guy hanging out. Guy hanging out. Yeah. Well, nightclubs, it really is like, we work in theaters now, but it reminded me of some of the, I get hot in theaters, of course.
No, but
getting hot in nightclubs is a different thing.
The theater is I love performing at a theater, Mary, because it's 6-7 meet and greet, 8 o'clock, 8:30 show. You could be in bed with cucumbers on that face. 11.
Yeah, 11, you really 15. Can. Showered,
cucumbered.
And eating the rest of the cucumber, watching your stories.
Yeah, two slices and then just nibbling a nine.
Yeah, watching your stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, nightclubs, I mean, when I was like, oh shit, I don't go on until 1.
I was like,
what time do I start getting ready? 10:30?
I know. I got ready way too early because I just figured like 11? No, that's way too late to get ready. I did my makeup by 11 and we were just dicking around for like literally an hour and a half in the studio.
I know.
Yeah. Wait, I want to tell you about this comedy show that I went to.
Okay.
I went to this comedy show.
Great.
It was Hannah Einbender, who's she was the one of the actresses in Hacks. And she did a night with a bunch of other comics. And this, I think her name is Nori. She's a trans comic who... she said this joke. I think I might have already told you, but she was like, you know, being in trans is like, it's like an MLM. If I get 5 of you to transition, I'll get an air fryer.
Who was it?
Her name was Nori, I think. I went with Fina. I went with Fina, and we were just, clutching.
That is so funny.
She's like, dating. I don't want to give away her whole set, obviously, but like dating, you know, it's tough. You know, when I meet someone and I really like them, I take it slow, but I just carefully, methodically try to get them to transition.
It's so fucking fucked up. That is so good.
Yeah, it was great.
Was there a lot of queer people on the show, or was it just that vibe?
It was a very, very diverse lineup. There was a couple of some were like skits, and I didn't really care for that. But Hannah fucking killed it.
Work.
She is a very smart, very funny, very good performer. And she's young.
Have you done stand up?
I've never done stand up
like that.
No, I've done like monologue-ish. No, never like that in a comedy show night. I mean, I did a comedy show, but I wouldn't have called it a comedy show.
It's fun, but you just have to do it so much to really like elevate to the point of like, whoa.
Oh,
You have to do it so much. I have a show Monday with Atsuko. Do you know Atsuko? She has like a bowl cut with big earrings. She does an Instagram like dancing with her grandma. Fred Armisen. And I'm like I'm like the secret special guest, and I haven't done a show in like a month. And I'm like, nobody gets amazing at stand up by doing like one show a month.
No. I mean, I remember Sarah Silverman, like she her, I saw her special, her latest special filmed at Largo. Me and David,
That's right.
And she had been in Boston, and I think Fina had saw her in Boston a year ago where she was workshopping the stuff. And there was a lot, it was a very different show that we both saw. And the amount of experience doing, working on the material, refining it. In her style, you kind of don't know because it's so kind of chill and casual, but it is perfect. It's perfectly, like, it's perfectly rehearsed and precise. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't say an extra word. Every word is perfect.
Well, it's like those people who, you know, like, when you read the comedians' bios, they all are like, well, I basically did 3 shows a night for free for 10 years.
Yeah, and lovely. That's why they get lovely so good. Model. There's a funny girl on Twitter who was like, you know, breaking into comedy. I don't know why I just mentioned that because I can't remember what the bit was. But yeah, it's like, why are we so obsessed with comedians and it's comedians and cops.
In general?
Yeah.
In entertainment?
Yeah. Cops and comedians.
Cop movies. Why are there so... every time
enough.
Not to be gay, but like every time a cop movie comes out starring like this guy and this younger guy... I'm like, haven't we seen this?
Mary, we've seen it all. We've seen it on television. We see it on...
The rookie Victory. Cop and like the veteran. It's like a comedy and then they end up bonding and one saves, you know, like...
Or Seven, what? With the veteran and the almost about to retire, but he's pulled back into the force. And then the rookie who won't follow the rules, or the crooked cop, or the it's or like just the, too like, many cops.
The cop who's like by the book and the cop who's yeah. like, I fly off by the and rails. See my pants.
Yeah.
Haven't we seen it? Unless it's literally The Heat. With
Melissa McCarthy,
yes,
yeah,
and Sandra Bullock, which was lit.
Okay, yeah.
But then again, that's female cop. We don't see that very much.
No, female cops are either like it's with comedians. Female comedians invisible. Female cops just tits.
Oh well, unless it's Reno 911.
Yeah, that's true.
Because those whores, they work it.
That's
out.
The only cop the stars show. That show. That's the only cop show that's of any good.
I mean, I love, of course, the men in that show, but the women. Worked the pussies out.
They are, oh man.
Maybe it's because we're gay. Like, I watch What We Do
in the
Shadows.
No. They are so funny.
So funny.
Niecy Nash, Carey Kenney, and fucking Wendy McLennan Covey.
Niecy Nash. I mean, the way she goes into every single scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so fucking funny.
Shoes it
These
up.
These whores are painted, too. Mm-hmm. Makeup. Yeah. The character, like, yeah. of having this, the spit curl mm-hmm. to the skin. With the perfect eyeshadow, a cop like that, so fucking good.
Imagine being pulled over by her.
I wish.
I know.
And that's her name, Wendy.
Wendy McLennan Covey.
That full hair and makeup with the tits out. So good.
It's great.
I love. And then like watching What We Do in the Shadows, I'm like, I love everybody on this cast, but Nadia gets me together.
Yeah.
With the bangs, the long wig.
I love those bangs.
Yes. And then Guillermo being like, obviously, possibly gay.
Yeah.
Desperately wanting to be a vampire. Yeah. So fucking funny.
Always shit on. Underappreciated.
Always shit on.
Is it, doesn't he get like, he accidentally kills that old vampire and gets like,
yes.
So funny.
And then, I mean, spoiler alert, we're on season 3 now and it's been revealed that he, through the series, has accidentally killed so many vampires because he's the descendant of,
Vampire hunter? Van Helsing?
Yes. Yeah, he's the descendant of Van Helsing. Yeah. So he desperately wants to be a vampire, but accidentally kills them constantly. It's so funny.
It's really, really good. Yeah. Is Taika Waititi in the, not on the show?
He's done like small roles. He's like the head of the vampire council. So he's been like, send them a video message.
Tilda Swinton. In that whole vampire council thing was so fucking funny.
Evan Rachel Wood.
Yes.
And then what about
True Blood.
And then what about Blade on a laptop.
On Zoom. Always cutting out, couldn't hear. It's so,
if you guys aren't watching What We Do in the Shadows,
so funny.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're all experienced comedians, obviously. Yeah. Harvey, who plays Guillermo, lets those fucking people have
he's
it.
He's so good.
He arguably has the non-vampire role, you would think the least funny.
No, he's still so fucking funny. He's such a scene stealer. It's fabulous.
Oh.
Yeah.
The costumes, too. I mean, I love shows like that when they get more money, more seasons, because they do more shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that first episode... with that Hollywood special effects ancient vampire in the first episode.
Oh, incredible.
I was like, this is a TV comedy?
Yeah, and it's like full prosthetic. Yeah, it's crazy.
Naked,
crazy.
Full prosthetic.
Crazy.
But then it's shot like The Office or Modern Family. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Oh, but that documentary, the original film that it's based on also got me together.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's good.
It's fan-fucking-tastic. Yeah. I watched something recently that was really entertaining. And I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, God.
That's tough. We're going to take a break. Okay. And we're back. What was it?
And I just want, you know, if you're watching this, hi, how are you? You know that I've got a little wiglet here on, and it's a wiglet. I can take it off. But I don't ever pretend that it's real hair. Now, Nicole Kidman, on the other hand, would have you believe that her character, Nine Perfect Strangers, has a long blonde natural hair that goes down to her back, where in reality, she's got a piece on that's about 3.5 tracks of used Lord of the Rings discarded wig fiber. And at every opportunity, they get that bitch wet. She's in the water. She's in a pool. She's in a lake. She's jumping in a waterfall. And she comes up with 3 strands of straggly little blondes.
Nine perfect strangers. Regina Hall. Regina Hall.
Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon.
Melissa McCarthy. Looking fabulous. Lipstick game is outrageous for Melissa McCarthy. Yeah. Bobby Cannavale. Manny Jacinto. You see his lovely butt.
The marketing is great. I've never seen it, and I can tell you everyone who's in it.
Mama, the marketing has been aggressive, and
every street in Los Angeles.
To the point where I actually approached our management. I was like, if you don't get me a recap show dressed as Nicole Kidman, as Masha from Tranquillum, like, it's over. But then I actually don't enjoy the show that much. It's not that great. It's no Mare of Easttown, let's just say that.
Well, you often find yourself roped into these, like, juggernaut Hollywood A-list shows. And maybe you set your sights too high because... Or maybe they're just not that good.
This one is not that good because White Lotus, this is coming off the heels of the White Lotus, which is another, like, luxe white satire that really... The writing was just, because Mike White, Chuck and Buck, Suck and Fuck. You know that one?
No.
Oh. Mike White is an incredible writer. He wrote Enlightened. He's like, incredible. And
who would play her?
Ron Hill.
Okay, work.
In 30 years.
Okay.
So anyways, White Lotus was incredible. And then this happens and it's like,
You don't live.
She has, there's flashbacks where she's wearing, she gets shot in a parking lot in an Atomic Blonde wig, my wig, and she's Russian. And she's like, one day I was high powered CEO and then bam, I was killed. It's just.
Are these people dead in this show?
No, she came back to life. She got shot in a parking lot and then she died for a second and then she's back now. She's like the leader of this wellness retreat that secretly microdoses it's the patients with psilocybin.
Is that what the show's about?
Yeah.
So it's people all come to this retreat for different reasons.
Yeah, and it's a lot of shots of like waterfalls, smoothies being mixed. It's a lot of filler. It's beautiful, but it's just not that great. Wow. Anyways, she wears these thin castaway Lord of the Rings wigs, and it's like, Mama, get the wig game together. What is the wiggery up with? It's Big Little Lies. We sold that at Dorothy's for $35.99.
I know. Well, wig budget, I guess. I'm saying on productions like that, they're not prioritizing wig budgets. They're not.
Yes, they are.
You think?
I know. Mary, they'll go to Maurice Newhouse and they'll say, we need a hand knotted, full lace, human hair, balayage thing. And they're going to pay it. Mary, they're paying her probably $20 million or $10 million. You think they can shell out $12,000 for a goddamn wig?
They should. I haven't really been watching anything. I completed The Real Housewives in New York, so I'm done now.
And that's with Teresa Giudice with The Hungry Hairline?
That's New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey, okay. And
now I started Atlanta from the
beginning. Lisa Rinna, New York?
That's Beverly Hills.
Goddamn.
So I finished Beverly Hills in New York.
Okay.
But now I'm starting Atlanta from the beginning. And it's always fun to start these Real Housewives in the beginning. Yes, because people have like Blackberries and stuff. It's that long.
Oh, yeah. Flip phones, Blackberries. Yes.
Nene is obviously, I'm a one episode and I'm like, oh, this is why Nene is going to be a big star. It's like
yeah.
Wow, this charisma. Person's so, yes.
Do you think, I know you're probably biased, but I think that sometimes Bravo is a jester to jail pipeline.
What the fuck does that mean?
that they make jester flop clowns of women and then just send them to jail.
Well, here's how I feel. Don't go on a TV show that's about flaunting wealth if your taxes aren't squeaky clean. And on the other side of that,
absolutely.
Sometimes I've been like, is this show good for women? Is this bad? But then I'm like, what other series have I seen horny, independent, wealthy, successful women on their own doing things without
sisters
men
doing it for themselves?
Yes. Does nowhere.
It I think it probably passes the Bechdel test every episode, maybe.
Yeah, because it's women's relationships with each other and not necessarily with men.
Yeah. So there's are there a lot of convos between women, not about men?
Yes, about things like surgery or things like
lipstick,
being critical of each other's parenting styles.
Okay.
Or where someone gets their money.
Yep.
Or
great.
Or just like, it's a lot of like, you're going to go to a group thing. You're going to break into groups and talk about the group thing and then break into new groups and tell each other what you've each said about the group thing and then come back to another group thing and fight about what you heard about the group thing.
That's a lot of groups.
It's a lot. But, you know, it's just like it's something to put on like while I put makeup on. That's why it takes me so long to get through it because I'm not like bulldozing through it.
Okay.
And then I rewatched Don't Breathe because I know Don't Breathe 2 is coming out. So I rewatched the first one.
I saw the trailer.
Well, here I am, afraid of blind people again because of that show.
Because you're going to get locked in a basement and then injected with semen.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
that's like just, that's very WeHo.
At least the guy, I forgot that he goes, I'm not a rapist. Which I love that in his mentality, I'm not a rapist. I'm just going to tie you
I'm
up.
I'm just
and
forcibly inseminated.
Make you carry my baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so scary. But also the whole movie, sorry. I know he's a murderer, whatever. You do not need to be breaking into people's houses and stealing their money either.
Oh, of course. I mean,
you're breaking into a blind person's house, an old man to steal.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I can't believe he's retaliating. I'm the victim.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Of course he's psycho.
Of course. But wrong house, mama.
Wrong house. Yeah. Stay home. Get a job at the, go down to yogurt land.
Taco Bell. Are you hiring?
I'll be down to fill out an application. Yeah. I love Taco Bell.
I've never had Taco Bell. Can you believe it?
I won't oversell it. Because it is the McDonald's of Mexican food.
Okay.
But if you want, not Mexican food, the McDonald's version.
Yeah. Is there anything with cheese not on it?
Yeah, and you can change whatever you want.
Really?
You don't like cheese?
No.
You can change whatever you want.
Okay.
It's not like,
No, of course.
Chipotle is that for me, like, oh. Okay,
yeah. In-N-Out for me is like that.
Okay, it's probably that, but Mexican food.
Okay, so like, what you get? What do you get at Taco Bell?
Who would play her?
Yeah.
Who would eat her? A bean burrito.
Okay.
A cheese quesadilla.
Bean burrito, what's in that besides beans?
Bean, cheese, rice, I think lettuce, and like a little bit of red sauce. And maybe teeny little fine diced onions.
Uh-huh.
So it's just really plain.
Okay.
Cheese, it's literally quesadillas, tortilla with cheese melted in the middle.
Hottest sauce.
That's it.
Hot.
And again.
Hot. It's a
hottest
sauce.
It's soft.
Softer, like,
yes.
You know, like
now again,
shells.
Chipotle is like, oh, quality, fresh. Taco Bell's a little more like, I need something that's gonna slime its way down my
gordito.
Body.
Gordito.
Something sinister.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. A ghost to to push the more evil thing through the.
Yeah. As far as digestive tract goes, this is a Plan B pill. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's. I don't even think you could leak now with them.
With them restricting
women's reproductive rights, I'm not even sure you can get Taco Bell in Texas anymore.
Oh my God.
That's the wrath it has on your
motherfucking hell.
But
Jesus Christ.
But it's good.
Yeah.
And then chips and cheese. Of course, they have things like, you know, the Baja Mountain Dew. Mm-hmm. It's just good. Once in a while, like, I can't even tell you if I'm like, oh, it's 7 p.m. I worked out a lot today. I want Taco Bell.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you get a hankering.
Because, you know, dietary speaking, I'll run the full marathon and then go gain those calories back.
Oh yeah, you'll have a full. You'll go to Olive Garden, get the like
unlimited
the
soup
12
salad
family
breadstick.
Buffet with Maz gravy.
I love Olive Garden.
I love it too. I also love the motherfucking Cheesecake Factory, bitch, which I just went to the other day.
It works my pussy out.
Dark is a nightclub in there.
And people make fun of that menu, like it's too big. I'm like, no, it isn't. Every restaurant should have a menu this size.
I don't think it was that big. And plus, the Skinnylicious menu is so funny.
It's also good.
Yeah, I'm sure it's
the Skinnylicious
good.
Menu.
Yeah, I'm sure it's good. It was like we were Skinnylicious divas.
It's good.
Yeah.
The cheesecake, which by the way, if you don't have time, you know, if you get too full, you can't eat it. But the cheesecake is lit.
It's great, yeah.
It's really lovely.
The veggie burger. They have so many good vegetarian options.
Did we talk about, I know we talked about Candyman. Did we talk about Night House on the pod?
Okay. Tell me about Night House.
Mary, I've got to tell you. So horror movies, we want to talk about beautiful, not bald, but beautiful.
Old?
No, my age. Rebecca Hall, English actress, fine actress, talented actress, beautiful actress. 2 days, born 2 days after me, May 3rd, 1982. She stars in this horror movie, a thriller, and I, you know, so she, her husband kills himself suddenly out of nowhere, and after having built them this lake house that's gorgeous, and she's coping with grief, and then shit starts to go fucking crazy. You've got to see this movie. You know how they, the kids say, oh, she ate that?
Yeah.
Mama, she ate it, that whole night house. She shit it out. Every scene is littered in her feces. Feces on the wall, puke on the ceiling.
Is it mom level?
No, this is a pure, like, exquisite, excellent done horror movie.
Who would play her as far as, like, not her, the movie. Who would play the movie as far as another horror movie that was that good or that vibe?
I would say, like, that's a great question. I would, I'm not going to say Hereditary because it's not that intense. It is very intense.
Hereditary.
But, Mom, I rewatched Hereditary and Midsommar.
This, I'm sorry, it is scary.
It's funny
too,
though.
I laughed out loud when that headless body just floated.
When she goes, woo.
It's funny.
It's so funny. And I think those naked folks are funny too.
Have you watched it again? Do you clock all the naked people outside the house?
Yes, I do. In this, watching Midsommar again, bitch, she in the foliage, there is her dead, she hallucinates her dead sister with the gas mask. I mean, there's all this hidden shit, especially with the hallucinatory stuff in Midsommar. Midsommar is packed.
Full. I love Midsommar.
He is a genius. He is a genius. And the fact that Toni Collette did not win an Oscar for Hereditary, and the fact that Rebecca Hall will not be even nominated for an Oscar for The Night House is criminal behavior that should be punishable by death.
We've talked about this. They don't respect women, A, and B, horror.
Horror.
And especially not comedy or comedy horror.
What about Elizabeth Moss in Invisible Man?
Mary,
she should have won an Oscar for that.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, that's a little
stretch.
Emmy.
Seven seasons.
Yeah.
No Emmy.
Yeah. Oh, stupid little vampire flick. We can't do that. Crazy.
Because it's horror with a sense of humor. But like Hereditary. And then the sad thing is, I remember leaving the theater and going, it was so good. And it's sad that she'll never get an award.
That's exactly what I thought when Rebecca Hall.
Because bitch, Toni Collette, she went and she gathered the girls. She gathered them.
Every single person in the address book she had gathered and shit on all of them.
I gathered the ponytail, the yaki. Yeah.
There was feces everywhere.
Everywhere.
Cleanup crews for months.
Bones sticking out.
Bones sticking out.
It was just so good. I love that movie. And oh my God, that young teenager who plays the brother.
Alex,
he maybe doesn't a teenager, he played a teenager.
Yeah, yeah. He was in Old, by the way.
Work.
Yes.
And also, the young girl who came to see
yes,
our show once.
A fan of the girls.
Yes.
Yeah, fan of the girls.
I didn't see that coming at all in that movie. So then you're like, I'm in the movie theater, like, oh.
And then the close-up shot of the neck in the morning of the head being swarmed by bugs and flies.
Also, the brother just slowing down the car and parking and not looking back. That's what I would do.
And going to bed.
And just going to bed. Love
and
it.
And finding her, Toni Collette in the morning, finding the girl.
Love
it's
it.
Just.
Love it.
It's so fierce.
Also, bitch, that dinner scene where she's screaming at him. Because they hate each other now, basically.
That scene is, that's where it's like, where's the Oscar?
Where's the Oscar?
Where's the Oscar? Where is the Oscar?
But you know what, the people like Toni Collette don't do movies like that because they're not award chasing. They're storytelling. That's why it's so good.
They're acting.
They're acting.
That's what these, not these Princess Diana biopics, not these like, these like make me ugly and then I'll be a killer lesbo, you know, not, you know what I mean?
Not Sleepaway Camp.
No, I'm talking Charlize and Monster.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was still.
No, she's great, but it has the whiff of an Oscar.
Does Toni Collette get an Oscar nomination for Sixth Sense?
I didn't know she was in Sixth Sense.
Oh, bitch. She's Haley Joel Osment's mom.
Oh.
Remember that scene where they're in the car and he's like, Grandma told me she still visits you sometimes. Oh, it's so...
I have to rewatch that
bitch,
one.
Bitch, you have to watch it. Toni Collette, red flip mom hair, turtleneck, like a red turtleneck, pink metallic press-on nails. The tackiest mom with like a, I don't want that on my kitchen table. Like a Coco Peru really? Accent. Really?
Yes. I love that.
You have to rewatch it. I mean, I know that movie's 1,000 years old.
It's okay because it's. I think it's the only one.
Bruce Willis, no wiener though.
No wiener?
I know the Bruce Willis, but there's no wiener.
But at least he's a secret daddy.
Secret daddy. Well, I guess you get, girl.
Come on, that's spoilers. The only twist that has not. I mean,
Drag
everybody
Race just
knows.
Ended this week, and I swear to God, Drag Race is on Paramount Plus, which those episodes become available at what, midnight or whatever.
Yeah.
People are fully on Twitter at 10 a.m. going, oh, thanks for spoiling it.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for
you. Get your fucking raggedy ass on Twitter and go watch The Sixth Sense.
People. Yes. Bones stay off the internet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so, yeah, Toni Collette, she'll never win. Rebecca Hall will never win. There is this scene in the beginning. So we know something has happened. We know she's grieving. We don't exactly know why. And she's a teacher. And so she goes back to school a little early because it's like she shouldn't really be back yet. And a parent comes in, a snooty parent comes in to talk to her. She's like, "What? You know, I noticed my son got a C on his whatever." And she's like, "Oh, okay. Who's your son?" And the woman is being so annoying, and Rebecca Hall is like so not with it. And basically, she says, "Oh yeah, because I wasn't in that day." He's like, "Well, I think that, you know, he should get credit for it." He's like, "I'm sorry, my husband blew his brains out last Thursday." And it's like the way that like it's funny, it's shocking, and it's like the best use of expository dialogue to that, you know, moves the plot like significantly along without saying like, well, da 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 da.
Well, shocks the person in the scene and shocks you at the same time.
This scene is so fucking good, and it's. Her acting range is so outrageous because she goes from mournful to like to
Rebecca
bitchy.
Moore?
Rebecca Hall.
Rebecca
she
Moore.
She goes from mournful to bitchy to like comical. To like it's like, ugh, her mind.
Well, that's the pod.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, subscribing, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.